Hello, friends, and welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
I think we are doing so well at doing our monthly roundups, don't you?
I'm so proud of us. I think we're killing it, and we deserve all the flowers.
I agree.
We
How
have three.
Yeah, we've done three. We've done three. Look, we if no one's gonna if we're not gonna hype ourselves up, who is gonna hype us up?
Absolutely.
How has March been for you reading wise?
March has been good reading wise. I messaged you before we started recording today to be like, I've had a bit of a lean month, but I realized I'm about the same as I was last month.
So
So
not so bad.
it's fine. It's fine. We're reading. It's good. How about you?
I got obsessed with knitting in March, so some of my reading time has now become knitting time. So I've had, I've still read eight books, but it's I've definitely noticed that reading with my eyeballs has been replaced by knitting. But you can read with
Wholesome.
your ear holes while you knit, and also it's wholesome. So yes, you can't do everything.
I just realized actually I didn't include my audiobooks at the minute because I have a very strange audiobook habit, which I've probably discussed on the pod before. But if I can't sleep, sometimes, the weight of the world is on my shoulders, and I find myself very much awake very late at night. And I just got this like really mad little light that kind of casts a swimming pool kind of effect on the ceiling. So I spent quite a lot of time lying on my back, staring at this light and listening to the same two or three audiobooks on repeat. So
Okay.
technically, I've read maybe eight books as well, but I don't count them because I just drop in wherever and listen until I fall asleep.
Rather than like I'm listening to this in a specific.
With intent.
Yeah. Well, still. Do you want to tell me about your first book?
Okay, so my first book, I reread Strange Girls by Sarwat Hassan.
Oh, yes, I really want to read this, but I have not. Tell me about it, please.
So good, and I actually loved it even more on my second reading. So I actually originally came across this book in a bound proof many, many moons ago. Read it, loved it, blurbed it, happy times. And then I interviewed Sarwat for Fane. So anyone who is interested in hearing me and Sarwat chat, you can find that on the internet via Fane online events. So I reread the book and God, I just had such a great time. It's about two women who had a very intense, queer-coded kind of codependent relationship during their uni days. We know that something happened between them and it all went tits up and they have lost contact. They are reunited because a mutual friend is getting married. And the narrative jumps between that present day kind of awkward interaction as they kind of reconnect, and then their university days when their relationship kind of bloomed and then burnt out. It is so fucking good. I absolutely loved it.
Sounds right up my street.
Yeah, you'd be all over it.
I keep meaning to get round to it, and for some reason I have not, but I'm strongly pro Sarwat as a concept, and the book sounds really good.
There's just a lot of books, man.
There are
That's what
so many
there are
books.
so many fucking books, and I've got so many that I'm really excited to read, and yet time is limited.
Yes. Well, my first read of the month is a book that you have also read and I know you enjoyed, which is Mother Faker by Anna Brooke Mitchell.
Love that fucking book. I think, did we discuss it already on the pod? Did
I
I
do
discuss it?
think, no, I think maybe we have mentioned it before, but now that I have also read it, we can just briefly do it again. So it's about a woman who does not want children, but finds her life in such a state that the only thing she can think of doing to get out of her life is to fake a pregnancy and get maternity leave and do a runner from her crappy life and her job and Guernsey, where she lives, where she basically hates everyone and her husband has left her and she has nothing going on. And so, on the face of it, it sounds like quite a sort of cynical, silly book, and then the more you read it, the more it's very lively and thoughtful and touching without being too sentimental. I thought it really worked for me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the kind of book that I hope that listeners of the pod will trust us when we say it's a banger.
It's
Because
such a banger.
superficially, concept-wise, it may not necessarily sound like quite as funny as it actually is. I would be skeptical about any book that I'm told will make me laugh because nothing ever makes me laugh. I'm a sour-faced bitch. But Motherfaker, there's something about the main character's name is Barry. Barry's voice is just so fucking funny.
Yep.
She's so kind of offbeat and weird, and she sees the world through such a unique lens. I had such a great time with it. I thought it was an absolute hoot.
And when we talk about her voice, I don't want you to get it wrong and think that it's like a twee kind of Eleanor Oliphant thing. It's not. It's really funny.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was reading that for an event, which was Anna Brooke Mitchell. And Rosie Story, who wrote a book called Dandelion Is Dead. So I will just mention that one as well as a little two for one, which is the purpose of the event was it was two debut novels, which are both about people telling lies. So Dandelion Is Dead is about a girlie called Poppy, who's very bright, vibrant, mercurial sister called Dandelion has died within the past year, and she's very much struggling to get over it. And she goes to Dandelion's flat for some reason, can't remember why, and ends up in possession of her phone and starts using her dead sister's dating app and meets a man and pretends to be her dead sister. And yeah, so that's the other book that I was reading for the event, Dandelion Is Dead by Rosie Story.
That sounds weird. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Don't do it, I'll say. Don't get yourself involved in such rigmarole, but yeah.
I mean, haven't we all at one time or another decided to
Poses are
catfish
dead, so
their relatives? Yeah, we've all done it, man. We've all done it.
What was your next book?
My next book, again, I realize as well that it's been wall-to-wall bangers over here in Slater Mansions. I read Under a Fur Coat by Sonia Vatomsky.
I have not heard of this. Tell me more.
Oh, mate, it's so good. Okay, so it's not out for a while, I will warn you all. So this one is about a photographer from Manchester who's just like her marriage has just ended. She's feeling very kind of creatively bankrupt. So she goes on this retreat to a boarding house on a tiny Finnish island, hoping to start taking photos again and start kind of, living her life for herself. In this boarding house, there's like a kind of handful of other guests who are also doing, I'm going to say, like somewhat unusual projects while they're there. She falls in particular with the caretaker, this like really nice chill dude, and then this like mycologist who is obsessed with trying to find a really specific kind of magic mushroom that's really rare. It's like the Bigfoot of magic mushrooms. And
Gorgeous, normal
basically,
thing, a normal thing to do.
So they spend all their time just like drinking vodka, getting absolutely smashed, and then marching around in the forest, going bananas. And then things start getting weird. Like they start coming across dead animals, and like kind of there's a fracture in the group, so they start kind of feeling suspicious of one another. It's so fucking good. It kind of reminded me of the book of the Most Precious Substance
By
in
Sarah
that,
Grant.
yes, Sarah Grant, which we are on the pod, we fucking love that book.
We love it.
It kind of reminded me of that, not necessarily textually, but just this kind of slightly mad quest, which comes with a hell of a lot of weird baggage.
So, who's publishing this book?
It's Bonnier, I think.
My lot.
No.
No.
You know what? I can't remember and I can't be bothered to Google it.
That's okay. That's okay. It doesn't matter. It's really not on my radar at all, but it sounds really good.
I'm telling you right now, pal, it's an absolute fucking banger, and I want to see it pop off.
Okay, we'll make sure it pops off. Don't you worry about that.
What you got?
Speaking of grands, not Sarah, but David, my next book was The White Darkness by David Gran. I'm on the record. I'm a Gran stan. I loved The Lost City of Z. I love Killers of the Flower Moon. I love The Wager. And then I found this unknown to me David Gran book, which is a bit shorter than his usual stuff. It is called The White Darkness. And it's not like my favorite of his, but I still enjoyed it. I'm kind of interested in this category of person because I cannot understand them. Of like, we talked about like the Everest book I read and stuff like that, where it's like, why do you be doing that. So this is about a dude called Henry Worsley, who was like obsessed with Ernest Shackleton, the polar explorer, and is just like obsessed with sort of recreating the footsteps of Shackleton and getting to the South Pole. And I don't know why you would do that. I personally would not do that, but it's a very good, interesting account of somebody deciding to do something completely deranged, and once again, doesn't always go very well for them. All I'm going to say, but it's my kind of
We'll
book.
add it to the list. We'll add it to the list of shit we don't want to fucking do, but we do want to read about.
Yes, I will not be going to the South Pole. If you hear I'm going to the South Pole, I have been kidnapped.
Okay, how am
What was your next read?
So then the next one I read was Big Kiss Bye Bye by Claire Louise. Are you familiar?
I'm familiar with the book. I've never read any Claire Louise Bennett, even though I'm in possession of some. Did we enjoy this one?
You Must Have Pond, the
I
short
do have
story.
Bond.
Yeah, I did enjoy this. You know what it reminded me of? Okay, wait. So first of all, it's about a woman who receives a letter in kind of slightly strange circumstances from a long lost lover. And this kind of starts making her think of other people that she's known in her life, and she becomes increasingly obsessed with whether or not she will hear from this person again. And it really reminded me of I Love Dick. I can't remember who wrote that now. Who wrote I Love Dick?
Chris Cross.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of remind me of that. So it's very it's almost entirely interior narrative. And there's a lot of repetition in it as well. The way that when we are constantly thinking about something, we kind of ruminate over the same things, we ruminate over the details. So it has this really kind of like, I mean, basically, it's really fucking Fitzcarraldo. Do you know what I mean? If you don't have a high tolerance for like very literary work, this is probably not going to be the book for you. I really enjoyed it because I felt like sitting in prose that is just so clean, you know? Writes with such beautiful kind of scarcity, like not a single word feels misused, overused. Like just reading something which is kind of flows in such a beautiful, almost Joycean kind of style. I don't know. It's not necessarily the thing that I always go for, but sometimes that is exactly what I want, and this really delivered.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's on my radar because I feel like Fitzcarraldo don't publish a ton of stuff, and when they do, one notices.
Yep.
But I didn't really have a sense of what it was. And yeah, I should get involved in Claire Louise Bennett, shouldn't I?
Feel like it's such a difficult book to describe because it kind of doesn't really matter what the setup is, if that makes sense. Like saying that she receives this letter, it's kind of not really about the letter. What it's really about is waiting for a response to her response.
Yes.
Like it's such a kind of weird, relatable agony. And it's also, I think, very satisfying to spend so much time just trapped in someone's head.
Well, it sounds not the same as, but vaguely similar to the next book on my list, which you may have. I feel like a few people have been reading it in the last like 6 months or whatever. I Remember by Jo Brainard. Do you know this?
No, I don't think so.
It was published by Daunt last summer. I got it in like January. I was spending a voucher and I finally got around to reading it this month. It's basically like, I think it was published in like the 70s originally, but it's been reissued. It's got a really like cool graphic cover that just says Remember in like with letters missing. It just looks like a cool book that stands out when you're in a bookshop. And it's basically like a memoir of his whole life and also sort of cultural stuff that he remembers. But every single line begins, I remember. So it's like kind of a quick but satisfying read. It's just really gorge. It's really like beautifully written. It's a, in a way, it reminded me a little bit of The Years by Annie Ernaux, in that it's also like a sort of way of looking back at things that were happening at the time, as well as like things from his life. And yeah, it's, things that he remembers, like about his sort of coming out and his like early gay life and just like what he was doing work-wise. It's just, I don't know. It's I think it would make a really good gift for someone. I think it's just like a gorgeous little book. I really enjoyed it. I picked it up on a complete whim, and I'm very happy with my purchase.
Oh, I'm happy for you. Do you think I would like it?
I think you would really like it.
Imagine if you were just like, no.
It's cool, but not for you. No, I think you would really like it's a sort of little time capsule. It's just really gorge. I really liked it. What is your next one?
My next one, full disclosure, I intended to finish it this morning, but your girl's kind of tired, and I ended up just mooning around doing nothing instead. But I will finish it by the end of the month. So I'm going to bring it up anyway. I'm reading a book called Kitten by Stacey Yu. Again, this is one that's not out yet. It's going to be out a little bit later in the year. I'm having the best time with this book. So I've read half of it. It's split into two parts. So I can only really give you a summary of the first half. But it's about this really young woman who has an older boyfriend. They go on a kind of trip together. And while they're away, he's cat sitting. His mother's cat, and she becomes obsessed with the cat. She and the cat just like become best mates. And it really made me think of our dear friend Emily Hatzar, stained glass artist. It really made me think of her and her cat Bim.
Yes.
Like, I read a passage out to Emily in the pub last night, and we were crying laughing. It's so funny, but also, whilst there's all this humor, there is such a kind of darkness to the narrative, and there's a real sadness kind of underneath this sort of superficially quite fun scenario. So I'm really looking forward to reading the second half. I'm sorry that it's a dreadful pitch, but I will, check my Instagram. I'll let you know how I feel about the rest of it.
Well, as someone who's a freak for their cat, I look forward to reading this.
I just think it's really difficult because this is something that I've attempted and have failed to do. I think it's so difficult to write the kind of ways in which we personify animals. Because the personification that we apply to our pets is very personal. Like the way in which I personify Peachy is not my dog, is not how my ex-husband would personify her. Like I give her this character on the internet of being like a mad goblin bitch, but I'm selective with the photos that I pick, right? Whereas he was like a silly billy girly. And I don't know, I feel like kind of rendering that on the page is quite challenging.
It's really challenging.
The only other
I'm gonna read
read
this.
is oh my God, what's it called? Fuck that the one about the sex therapist.
Oh yeah, Big Swiss.
Yeah, the personification of the dogs in that is really fucking good.
Well, I look forward to reading this one as a cat lady. So my next one, if you have not read this, I think you would love, was This House of Grief by Helen Garner. So
Oh.
I had read a Helen Garner fiction maybe late last year. I quite liked it. It didn't change my life. But then there I was, minding my own business, mooching around in a bookshop, and I saw this one. And I don't think I'd realized that it was like non-fiction and about criminy. And we love reading about crimes. If there's one thing we love, it's crimes.
Committing crimes and reading about crimes are our two passions.
Exactly. Yes. So this is about a trial that she attended basically every day, of something that happened in Australia in 2005, when on Father's Day, a man whose wife had recently separated from him was driving his three children back to their mother, and very near the family home that he now no longer lived in, his car swerves off of the highway and plunges into a dam, and the three children all die, and the man survives. So the trial is trying to establish why that happened, if he did it intentionally, what's going on. And obviously it's very, very bleak. It's not like a fun read, but it is a really great read if that is something that you might find interesting, I will say.
Sounds bleak, bro.
Yes. It was a really I feel like, if you read stuff like In Cold Blood and I'll Be Gone in the Dark, like the sort of big boys, crime nonfiction. It is one for you, and she do know how to write. And I really want to read the Mushroom Trial book that she did with Sarah Krasenstein and someone else whose name I've already forgotten. But yeah, I'm intrigued by the Helen Garner nonfiction world. What's
Okay,
next for
well,
you, my bro?
that's the end of the list of books that I've read, but I have some books I intended to shout out as well. So
Okay.
how many more do you have to discuss?
I have three. One I liked. No, sorry, two I liked, one I did not like.
I have three books I want to shout out. So I'm going to do my first shout out, if I may,
Yeah.
and save them all for the end. In the last episode, we touched upon a book called The Well by Elizabeth Jolly,
Yeah.
which I was very excited to discuss for reasons that I did not make clear. Here she is. I just remembered that we're not filming this as a podcast, so me holding up the book doesn't mean fucking shit. Bitch, I'm tired, all right? I'm tired. Anyway, yeah, the good news is The Well is being reissued by Virago. It's coming out in September this year, and your gal, I have written the intro to it. So that is why I read the book twice in about 2 months. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I think it's so fucking great. And I really encourage all our pals of the pod to please pre-order it and discover this incredible author who's massively undercelebrated in the UK. It's just a banger. I won't go into it again. We've discussed it already on the pod, but I just wanted to make that clear.
That this is why we were coyly discussing it last month.
Yeah. And I interrupted. I'm doing my final edits on the intro, which I interrupted myself in order to hop on this call. So I'm very much in the well zone right now. The well of it all.
I'm really hyped. I'm really looking forward to reading it. And also reading your intro. Is it a spoilery intro, or could I read it before I read the book?
It's not a spoilery intro because the nature of the narrative is that you kind of find out what happens at the very beginning. You
Okay.
know?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Read it before you read the book.
Cool. Well, I'm hyped. So maybe I'll do the book that I didn't like as much, and then we can end on some highs. So I last month was talking about how I'd read The Wax Child by Olga Hahn, and I had not liked it. You gotta cut me off. If I tell you I'm reading any more of her books, just be like, sort your life out. Why are you doing it? Because this month I read My Work and I did not like it either. So unfortunately, I must be prevented from reading any more books by this author because I clearly just don't like them, and that's okay. Many people do. It not me.
You know what happened to me last night? Can I tell an anecdote?
Please.
I was in the pub and this woman stopped by the table and she was like, "I'm absolutely fucking smashed." And I was like, "Good for you, babe." She's like, "Yeah, I'm smashed." She went off to the loo. She came back out again and she was like, "Yeah, I've just thrown up everywhere." But while I was being sick, a message was delivered to me for you. And obviously, I'm like rubbing my hands together with glee, like, "Oh my God, what came to you while you were vomiting and thinking of me?" And she was like, you've had some heartache recently. And me and Emily were like, yeah, like
Yeah.
that's like." And she was like, "But things are looking up." And I was like, "They are looking up." And she was like, "Not everyone can like you, and that's okay." And I was like, "Thank you so much.
What
Thank
a
you.
queen, what an icon.
You need to hear that." And then she looks at Emily and goes, "I got nothing for you." And we're like, "Okay." Back round a bit later. And I will just say that Emily's hair looks incredible, right? She's styled beautifully. It looks stunning. And she stopped again and she looked at Emily and goes, "Your hair, you're doing it for other people, not for yourself. You need to cut it all off."
Well, look, if I read another one of this author's books, it's because I'm doing it for other people, not for myself.
Exactly.
I
It's
need
okay.
to love myself more. Yeah, just not for me. I can't be doing any more. Don't let me. If you hear on the grapevine that I'm reading another one, tell me I'm a fool. And yeah, that life is too short.
You're going to the North Pole, you're being kidnapped. If you're reading another Olga book, I need to cut you off. All
You
right.
need to dunk my head in the toilet.
Done.
So yeah, My Work, absolutely not for me. Don't mind reading about the concept of motherhood, but I need the children to be like of an age where they are giving something. Like, I need the relationship to be like two-way between, I need there to be like conversation and chat and like personality. I cannot be reading about like tiny baby because I don't find that stimulating. I want there to be like a two-way parental relationship. That's something I learned about myself while reading my work.
Well, that's fine. That was your work.
So true. What's your next shout out?
My next shout out, and I'm going to say this is mainly because I literally just saw her and I was like, oh, I should mention her book on the pod. So if there are other people whose books I have not mentioned, it's not, it's, don't take it personally. I just had cocktails and this was on my mind. Hannah Beer, I Make My Own Fun. That banger is now out in paperback. So I just wanted to give
Gorgeous.
it out. I don't know if we've mentioned it on the pod before. Have you read it?
I chaired an event with Hannah at Dawn Summertown last year and had a great time, and I believe we have definitely mentioned it on the pod.
I won't go into too much detail, but it's essentially about an A-list celebrity who falls in love with a bartender and becomes absolutely obsessed with her, with like wild behaviors coming out. It's really fun. It's just a really fun book. Hannah is probably the chicest author I've ever laid eyes on, apart from maybe Bethany Rutter.
Thank you.
And yeah, I just wanted to give it a little shout out because, hardbacks are expensive, and then sometimes it can feel like by the time the paperback rolls around, everyone's sort of forgotten about it. So yeah, I Make My Own Fun. I Make My Own Fun. It's a fucking banger.
It is. It's really good. It's a bit like Mother Faker in that it has a sort of silly sounding concept, but that's executed really well.
Absolutely.
So the next book, which I really enjoyed, is called The Jakarta Method by Vincent Bevins. It's non-fic, and I read it because I know they're always doing this, but like I felt like with the US doing stuff in Venezuela and Iran, I felt like I wanted to read more, learn about the sort of history of at least one element of like horrendous US intervention in other countries. So I will just briefly read the blurb because I don't want to get it wrong. In 1965, the US government helped the Indonesian military kill approximately 1 million innocent civilians, eliminating the largest communist party outside of China and the Soviet Union and inspiring other copycat terror programs. So it's sort of about how what they did in Indonesia in 1965 was then kind of the blueprint for suppressing communism in other countries in the Cold War. It's really interesting. Obviously, it's quite like dense. I would not necessarily recommend this to everyone unless you are interested in learning more about this. But if it is something that you're like, how do they do that? Like, how does the US involve itself in the 20th century in all these different countries, especially in Asia? Then I would really recommend. What's your next shout out, please?
My next shout out is probably the most important shout out because by the time this podcast goes live, another little paperback will be available to purchase out in the world.
Was it written by the most beautiful girl in the world?
Oh, it's not for me to say. Yeah, my horrible second novel, Let the Bad Times Roll, is now available in paperback. I've talked about it. You guys know what it's about. But if you like the vibe of Death of a Bookseller, if you like narratives about missing people and hidden secrets and fucking dive bars and psychics and weird shit in New Orleans, maybe take it for a spin, see what you think. I'm really proud of it. And we did actually record an interview with me to post when the hardback came out, and then we were just in we had such a long gap in on the pod, we just never bothered posting it, I don't think.
Well, maybe we can post it.
And dust it off.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. See what I can dig out from down the back of my laptop.
No worries if not. That
Well,
literally.
it's a banger.
Thanks, mate.
So my final book that I needed to read after not enjoying my work, as just discussed. I needed a guaranteed win. I needed something that was just going to be pure enjoyment for my ear holes and my brain. And I chose Quietly Hostile by Samantha Irby, which
Oh.
is an audiobook read by Samantha Irby herself. And if you have never listened to one of her audiobooks, she is the best reader of her essays. I love them. They're just essays from the brain of Samantha Irby, who, if you do not know her, she's like an essay writer, but she also worked on the much maligned, justifiably, Sex and the City reboot and Just Like That. And some of what Quietly Hostile is about that. It's so funny, but I would say only read it if you have a high tolerance for reading about pee pee poo poo. If you are
Yes.
sensitive to reading about things that come from inside your body, do not read this book. She loves, I've literally never read a book where the word diarrhea is used more than this one. I love it personally, as you know, some people like to talk about the internal workings of the human body, some people do not. I will leave it up to you to interpret which one of those I am. But yeah, you have to make your own call. But if you want to just like loll away, have a really easy time, have just like a palate cleanse. If you finished a book that you found like heavy, boring, not enjoyable, may I recommend the audiobook Quietly Hostile or any of Samantha Irby's books on audio?
I think I've read them all. I think I've read them all. There might be the most recent one. Maybe I didn't finish. But that is a great example of a writer who makes me fucking belly laugh. Like, her turns of phrase are
Yeah.
just so funny. And also, she personifies her cat really well.
Yeah.
Duck
She
fat
is
round.
she's a true clown. Like she really is. The way she described herself at one point, I was like, that's kind of like Alice. Like she talks about well she was like in surgery for something quite life-threatening and she was still trying to like make the surgeon laugh. And I was like,
Like she uses the phrase, I like to pal around with.
yeah.
And her wife or girlfriend is like, can you take this fucking seriously, please? It's also another phrase which is like burned in my brain, where she orders some kind of bullshit diet meals and accidentally gets them delivered to work instead of home. And she says, this was devastating because I like to be inconspicuous, which
Yes.
it just absolutely killed me.
I think she's really, really funny. And it is a source of like great sadness to me that she was involved in And Just Like That, which broadly sucked so badly. But
Also is involved in the Shrill TV show, which was great.
yes, exactly. So one of the funniest bits is her describing what would have been the TV show of her life if it got optioned, because that, like her kind of version of Shrill, which never did get commissioned, but that's a very funny bit of this book. And yeah, I really would recommend it if you want a laugh.
I feel inspired to reread some Samantha Irby or possibly finish the last one if I didn't finish it because I do like a laugh. And I really feel like I think I read them all like around the time they all came, around the time the third one came out. I can't remember what it was called now. It was Pink with a Hedgehog on it. And I read
Meaty.
them, Meaty, yeah. And I read them in such quick succession because they are so fucking good. What a treat.
They are a real treat. And on that note, we're out of here.
That's it. As usual, check our Instagram if you missed any of the titles we discussed. I will spend hours tonight twiddling around with Canva to create a beautiful graphic so you can see them all on there.
We're so lucky. And I will see you next time. Bye.